Take your Bible, if you will, and open them up to the book of Joshua, and Joshua chapter 23, if you will, tonight. Joshua chapter 23. Just kind of preaching, have been a little bit from the life of Joshua, and we're going to come now to the end of his life, all right? I want to preach to you on finishing right. Finishing right. Joshua chapter 23, if you will. And we're going to begin in verse 1 because that's always a good place to start, all right? Verse 1, Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And Joshua called for all Israel and for their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age, and ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you. I want you to notice twice in these verses the Bible says he was old and stricken in age. One time the Bible said it, and the other time it quotes Joshua as saying it, all right? I don't know if you ever stop and think about it, but I just thank the Lord for the testimony and the heritage of Joshua. Boy, you think about him. He had to step into the shoes of one of the greatest men the nation of Israel ever had to lead. And he stepped into those shoes, and it became his job to lead the nation of Israel. And you say, well, it was an easier time. Well, it depends on what you call easy, I suppose. Truth is, it was a difficult time to be the new man on the block, new man in control, a new man at the head of power. And they were standing, they were right at, you know, at the Jordan River, ready to cross over in the promised land. But they still had to cross over, and they had to conquer the land. And Joshua was the man God chose to lead them in that conquering. And God used Joshua in a great and just mighty way. He's the one that led the people onward to conquer the enemies of God, to possess the land God had promised to them. He was a man who very faithfully served his Lord. But now we come to this passage of Scripture. He's nearing the end of his life. Hey, Joshua finished right. He finished right. Now, he began right. He continued right, and now he's finishing right. I'll be honest, the longer I live and observe what happens around me, the more thankful I am for folks who finish right. And I've seen so many fall by the wayside. Seen so many, you know, who did well for a long time, but there right at the end, they stumbled. They stumbled. I'll never forget, I used to watch the Ironman Triathlon when it would come on. It would be broadcast out of Hawaii, and if I knew it was going to be on, I would watch it. And if you're not familiar with that, that's okay. But the Ironman Triathlon, they swam for like 2 miles, something like that. Then they got out of the ocean and got on a bicycle and bicycled for a ridiculous length of time and ridiculous distance. And then they got off the bicycle and they ran a marathon. Now, that's the Ironman Triathlon. I'll never forget watching it one time. There was this woman that was inside of the finish line. She failed. She failed. I mean, she was in bad shape. I would be in bad shape after swimming across the pool, riding a bike down the street, and then running in the garage, you know. But she was in bad shape after all of that. And I remember they were sitting there talking to her and talking about, you know, paramedics came up and won't take you to the hospital. She said, no, no. She waited, and I mean one person after another passed her, you know, they went across, and she was within sight of the finish line, but she sat there and sat there, and the whole time they're trying to talk her into letting them take her, and she said no. Finally, she got up and finished the race. And she wasn't anywhere close to winning, but she finished. She finished. Listen, it's important. It's important that you finish this Christian race right. That you finish right. Now, you may be a long way from the finish as far as you know. But I want to say now's the time to plan for the finish. You don't get to the end and then plan to finish, all right? Listen, I'm convinced you don't accidentally do right. And neither will you accidentally finish right. You won't accidentally continue right. But if you'll do right now, and you'll continue to do so, then you can finish right. Joshua did, and I believe we can learn, we can emulate his example. So we're just going to take some verses right here at the end of the book of Joshua and talk to you about some things, if you're going to finish right, that you need to do. Number one, never, 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 can I say it one more time, never lose your zeal for God. Just don't let it happen. Look down in chapter 23, look in verse 14, would you? Verse 14, here's Joshua, and he's talking to the children of Israel and their leaders, and he says, "Behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Joshua said to those people, look, everything God has said to and about you has been proven true. Everything he said would happen has happened just like he said it would happen. All right? Look, he said God's been good to you. And he's been good to you because you've done what he said. And he's been good to do what he said he was. Look, he was and he is faithful to Joshua and he is to us. We don't need to lose sight of that, all right? There's people in this whole world today that's lost sight of the goodness of God. They're bitter today. They're on the shelf. They're in the ditch. They used to serve God, used to do things for God. But somewhere along the line, they lost their zeal for God. I hope I never do that. The day may come that physically I'm not able to stand and preach, but I hope while I'm sitting and listening, I still say, wish I could do that. Still would have the zeal to say, I want to do it. Man, have you ever stopped? How in the world do you lose your enthusiasm for the one who never fails? Never fails. I was working on this message this afternoon, and I got to thinking, you know, there's folks in this old world that have been and are Cowboy fans when they've only won one playoff game in 30 years, and that was this year. But yet, they still go around. They buy season tickets. They buy the paraphernalia. They spend money in the souvenir shop. Some of them will paint their face and go everything. They're faithful Cowboy fans, all right? Man, for years and years. But folks fall out with God when they don't get one thing they think they deserve. But they don't get mad and quit on the Cowboys because they didn't win. I think of Cubs fans. You know, Chicago Cubs fans went for I don't even know how many years that they didn't make the World Series. They finally got in it, you know. Hey, but they were devoted fans. They kept going. Yet we see people fall out with God. Fall out with God. But God's never failed you, my friend. If you ever thought he did, you were wrong, all right? And it's a crying shame that Cubs fans that stay faithful better than Christians stay faithful. What a shame. How do you lose your zeal for the one who's done all that he has for you? Man, hallelujah, God never fails. He never has failed. He's never failed you. He's never failed me. Joshua was about to go the way of all flesh and the way of all the earth, but he was still excited about what God could and would do. Man, I like that. I think of Brother Joe Hawkins. I remember Brother Joe Hawkins the last time I talked to him. The truth of the matter is he's on his deathbed. But he was planning what he was going to do when he got back to Brazil. He was, oh, man, he was talking to me about his plans. And he said, this is what we're going to do. This is how I plan to do it. He never lost his zeal for serving God. Why? Because God had been good to him. God had been good to him. Was he rich? No, not in the things of this world. But man, he was just still had that zeal, still had that enthusiasm. Boy, I like to see that. I like to see people come to church that act like they're excited about being here. I don't understand people drag in. You know, just drag it in. Always look like they lost their best friend. And, you know, everything's, I'm just barely making it. Just barely making it. Look, if I'm just barely making it, I'm excited if I'm barely making it to church. Just to be in the house of God. I don't want to lose that zeal for God. I don't want to ever get to the point where we can sing those great songs of the faith and go, oh, doesn't do anything for me. Man, I tell you, it still does something for me. Still stirs my soul to sing those great songs. And I think about the words of them. Think about what's there, and I think, yeah, that's what God did for me. Yeah, he died for me on that mountain. For me, they pierced his side. For me, he opened that fountain, that cleansing. You know, oh man, for me he did. For me, he waiteth in glory, seated upon his throne, and he promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. You say, big deal. It is a big deal, man. It's a very big deal. Hey, let's not lose our zeal for God, all right? If you're going to finish right, never lose your zeal for God. Then I want you to look at something else. There was something else about old Joshua that stands out. Joshua always gave good advice. We read verse 2. He called all Israel and for all their elders and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers and said unto them, hey, here I need to talk to you. I want to talk to you, all right? And he went over some things with me. He said, this is what I've done, all right? What he was going to do, he was going to instruct them a little bit. Now, I want you to notice the instruction he gave them. Hey, by the way, if we'll listen to this instruction, it'll help us finish right. Look at verse 6, chapter 23. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. He said, right down the line, you stick with the book. Just stick with the book. Hey, folks, I want to tell you, that's what we've got to do. We've got to quit looking for something new. We got to quit wandering around saying, I got to have something new. No, we just need to stick with that which has worked, because it's worked in the past. It'll keep working. It'll keep working. Paul said it this way in Thessalonians, you know. He said, I rejoice that you received the word of God, and you received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It still works. Still works. It hasn't changed. Now, what Joshua was saying to them, he said, you stick to the word of God. You stick to the word of God. People that don't finish right are the people that get away from the word of God. They get away from the Bible. You say, yeah, preacher, what do you mean? Oh, come on, I mean the King James Bible. That's what I mean. I don't mean some watered down, some altered version, some, scholarly accepted. Hey, I mean the one that God's used for 400 plus years now. Just stick with that old book, all right? God's done amazing things with this book, and he's going to continue to do it. Just stick with the book, all right? If you got decisions to make, see what God says. Do what he says. Stick with the word of God. Man, don't get pulled aside from that. So the first thing he says to us is, hey, you just follow that word. Notice he said, don't turn from it to the right or to the left. He said, don't go too far one way or too far the other way. You just stay right on top of it. Just stay right there. When I was flying, I learned to fly I don't even remember what the instrument is in the plane. I don't remember what they called it, but you can tune in on a radio frequency. If you ever drive by an airport, you've seen this funny looking thing that kind of comes up like this, you know, and then a little bit, it's usually white. Well, that's a beacon, and it sends out a pulse on a certain frequency. And if you're in an airplane, you can tune to that frequency, and you can fly right straight to that spot. But you got to there's an instrument, got a line, you just straddle that line and fly that line. You don't have to worry, you don't have to look around, you don't have to watch the road or anything. Just watch that instrument, stay with it, you'll get where it says you're going, all right? Hey, the Word of God says, here it is, just stay on the line. stay on the line. In Boston, Massachusetts, they've got a red line that you can use, and it takes you on a kind of a historical tour through Boston. And we walked that red line. I remember Brother, I myself, my wife, Brother Ms. Trangmar were with us, my two kids, and we went. Ms. Trangmar said, I got where I hated that red line. Because we was walking and walking and walking. But hey, you stayed on that line, it would take you to the next historical site, right? But you had to stay on the line. Hey, listen, you want to finish right? You stay right on top of what the Word of God says. Stick with the book. Stick with the book. Then I want you to drop down a little further in chapter 23. I want you to look at verse 11. Here's some more advice he said. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Hey, stick with the book and stick with the God of the book. Just stick with the God of that book. Hey, it's the Lord God Jehovah that's your God. That's who our God is. It's not Baal. It's not Ashtaroth. It's not Dagon. It's not sports. It's not money. It's not whatever you can think of a name, all right? Whatever it might be. It's none of those things. Our God's the Lord Jehovah, the creator of this universe. That is our God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who saved your soul, so don't go hunting for another one or spend time worshiping another. Now, I know you say, preacher, we're not going to do that. Yeah, but I'll tell you this, a lot of people let something get between them and God. And they begin to look more towards that thing than they do to God. Hey, when you do that, you've shifted your focus. You're no longer following God himself, all right? But I remind you now, he said, look again at that verse, take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Can I say to this, to those of you that are here that are married, take good heed that you love your spouse. That you love your spouse. You say, well, why not? Because a lot of people quit loving their spouse. You just make it a habit. I was at lunch today. My wife and I were talking. I said, boy, I sure am glad I married you. I didn't ask her if she was glad she married me. I was afraid of what the answer might be. But I did tell her, I say, I sure am glad I married you. Oh, my goodness. What a blessing. How life would have been different if I hadn't married the girl that I married. Hey, I want to be sure I stay in love with her. Just want to be sure I stay in love with her. Now, notice again what the Bible said in verse 11. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves. Hey, it's you are the one you better keep your eye on. All right? You are the one you better keep your eye on. Because it's you that'll wander away. It's you that are wander away. You know, I've seen a lot of people in marriage get away from their spouse, but they always blame it on the spouse. But they never get to the point where they realize, oops, my fault. I wandered away. I just quit focusing on loving my wife, or I quit focusing on loving my husband. And I let other things get in the way. And I love those other things more than I did that person. Hey, a lot of people do that with God. We claim to love the Lord Jesus Christ, but we don't love him the way we should. We don't give real good heed to ourselves. And before long, we find we're not having the relationship with him that we used to have. And it's not God's fault. It's our fault. You say, preacher, who are you talking to? Every one of us. Every one of us. Said, can't happen to me. You're the guy that better watch out. It can happen to any of us. Just take good heed unto yourselves, all right? Hey, listen, everything doesn't have to happen my way. But I'm still going to stick with the God of this book. He doesn't do everything the way I want him to do it. He doesn't answer every prayer I pray yes. Sometimes he tells me no. And I find out usually pretty soon that sure I'm glad he said no, you know? I wasn't appreciative when he said no. Later on, I decided, boy, it's a good thing he said no. I didn't even know what I was asking for. Hey, he doesn't have to do everything my way, but I'm going to stick with him. And I'll tell you what, he's the one saved my soul. He never had to do that, but he did. He did. If you're saved tonight, he's the one saved your soul. He didn't have to do that. You know, we live in this day where people act like God's got to do things. He doesn't have to do it, but he does it for us, all right? And boy, would he just stick with him. Hey, I'll say this, the third thing that we see here. Look in chapter 23 again. Look at verse 12. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Now drop down to verse 16, would you? When ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given unto you. Hey, his advice, you stick with the book. Number two, you stick with the God of the book. And number three, he said, if you stumble off, then the God of the book will judge you by the book. He's going to judge you by that book. You can count on it. Joshua warned his people if they quit on God, he'd quit on them. Now, we don't like to think that way. We live in a day where people think, oh, no. God is obligated to give all the time to me. He's not. He's not obligated. Hey, the Bible's true. There's some promises in the Bible that are wonderful promises, but a lot of them have some ifs right there with them. And the truth of the matter is, if we quit serving God, if we get away from him, we can count on one thing guaranteed, we'll face him in judgment. And we'll be judged for what we've done. We'll be judged for what we haven't done, all right? We should never get the idea that you can get away from God and get away with it. Don't ever get that idea. Don't ever get that idea. I'm glad and worried at the same time that the only person I have to worry about standing before God is me. I just have to give an account for me, all right? I'm going to have to do that. But that's going to keep me busy. That's going to keep me busy. But I've watched some other people that I've known and loved do some things, and I thought, oh, my soul. And then I've watched God deal with them. And it was tough. It was tough. Hey, listen, you remember this. You stumble off and quit serving God, then the God of the book will judge you by this book. That's the standard. The standard is not some fellow somewhere or some lady somewhere. The standard is this book. This book. And that's what we're going to be judged by. The Bible said that one of these days, you know, we stand in judgment, and he said the books were open. Over in the book of Revelation, he said the books were open. I believe with all my heart this one of them is going to be open. This one of them right here is going to be open. And we're going to have to be judged by this standard. This standard. Don't quit on him. Don't stumble away from him, all right? If you do, you'll face him in judgment. All right? All right, so, hey, Joshua's taught us some things. He said, never, never lose your zeal for God. And we need to listen to the advice that he gave, because he gave good advice, all right? But now I want you to go to chapter 24 and verse 14. Now we get to probably some of the most well-known verses in the Bible, and Joshua's still speaking to the nation of Israel. And he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. All right? I think there's one thing Joshua would tell us. If you want to end up right, then never change from the right choice. Never change from the right choice. Joshua made the right choice a long time before we what happened in these words. Long time ago, Joshua made the right choice when the nation, they were living in Egypt. Joshua made the right choice. We could go down the line, he never strayed from that right choice, all right? He had chosen to trust the Lord. He had chosen to follow the Lord. He had chosen to believe the Lord. And I tell you what, Joshua was one of those fellows that was all in. All in. When he got in, he got all the way in. Hey, I want to tell you, that was the right choice then, and it's still the right choice tonight. Just get all the way in. You know, I don't want to test the waters of Christianity. I'm not testing the waters. Now, I remember testing the waters of a swimming pool on occasion. I remember testing the waters of Village Creek when I went swimming down there. Those waters were cold on a hot summer day. Cold water, spring-fed cold water. And it's one of them deals you eased into it a little bit of a time. You know, you'd get in, and when you were numb from the knees down, you moved in a little deeper. And you get numb from the waist down, all right? Hey, well, listen, you don't do that with Christianity. You ought to go all in. It ought to go all in. Hey, he saved every bit of you when you came to him and surrendered to him. He saved all of you. He didn't save you in stages. He didn't save you little by little. It was all of it. I mean, it was instantaneous. You got saved all over. Well, hey, that's the way we ought to be in on it. But I want to say this. You can't stick with the right choice until you've made the right choice. Now, Joshua made that right choice. He made the choice years ago. He said, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. He made that choice, like I said, in the nation of Egypt. He never strayed from that choice. When the 10 spies took the wrong position and gave the wrong advice, Joshua never wavered. Joshua never wavered. He said, nope, we can do what God said. Now, they got outvoted, but he stuck with it. But after that, I want to tell you, he stuck with Moses when the crowd wanted to go back. When the crowd wanted to attack Moses, Joshua stuck with him. He made the right choice. He stuck with it. Can I tell you, one of the greatest problems we get into, and the reason people don't finish right, is we decide to change from the right choice. We decide, I'm going to change that a little bit, all right? I want to go back. It's like messing with a recipe of a good whatever. Messing with a recipe. Quit messing with the recipe. I've told you my mom messed with the recipe of her pecan pie and we griped at her, all right? Hey, quit messing with the recipe. And if it's good, leave it alone. Well, I just want to fine tune. Leave it alone. You ever notice how many restaurants get bought out? And I mean good restaurants. Well, I mean crowded restaurants. And somebody buys that restaurant. And they change the menu. Change the menu. And they wind up closing. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if Cracker Barrel closes down. They've changed the menu. They've changed the menu. I mean, you know, tell you something else they've done, started serving booze. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, Cracker Barrel. I wouldn't be surprised at all if they wind up closing down. I'll tell you this, the last time I went, I was totally disappointed with the food I had. Why? Change the menu. Change the menu. They weren't noted for cooking filet mignon, all right? Now, I don't think they still do, but now. But, I mean, they've changed the menu. Hey, we don't change that menu. You made the right choice back there. Don't stray from it. Joshua never strayed away from it, and we ought not to. Or to never think about changing what you believe based upon the Word of God. I see people change, and I want to ask them, well, what changed? You or the Bible? Because used to, you'd defend your position from the Bible. Did the Bible change? If it did, you tell me how it changed and who changed it. I won't be honest with you. I want to die believing and practicing what I believed and practiced 50 years ago. I want to die doing the same thing. I won't change. Man, if it's based on the Word of God and the Word of God was right, let's stick with it, all right? Never change from the right choice you made. Never do that, all right? And then determine, I want you to go back and read verse 15 with me there in chapter 15, or chapter 24. He said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, I want you to notice that, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to tell you something. I believe you ought to determine to leave a legacy. Determine to leave a legacy. Joshua said his family was going to stick with the God of the book. He said, it's not just me. But he said, I'm going to tell you, my family's going to do that. I think we ought to determine to leave a legacy. Now, I'll be honest with you. I want my kids and grandkids to love the same God I have served, and I want them to serve Him too. I want them to serve Him too. Now, I can't make them do it. I cannot make them do it, but I can make them want to. I can make them want to. Now, I don't mean with a stick. All right? I don't mean with a stick. But I believe in all my heart I can make them want to. I believe you can make them want to. All right? You say, what do you mean? Well, you can create an atmosphere that's conducive to serving the Lord and wanting to serve the Lord. Look, I grew up in a preacher's home. I know a lot of preacher's kids that, they're worthless. Worthless. I mean, got away from God. Some of them live an extremely wicked life. And I've looked back and I've tried to figure out, how come we didn't mess up? Nobody lived in a home that was stricter than ours. And it wasn't a matter, you know, I've heard people say, I don't go to church because I was made to go when I was a kid. I've always thought, well, man, I had a choice. I'm glad my parents gave me a choice. You can go happy or go mad, but you're going, all right? There wasn't any of that. But, you know, I'm glad that happened. I'm glad that happened. They created an atmosphere. Now, you got to understand something. I grew up in a preacher's home, and I remember in churches where there was a church split. Hey, that is a painful experience. Painful experience. Something happened, and man, a big group of people left. And I can remember when that happened in our church in Florida where Dad pastored. I can remember, so long, friend. Kids that were friends, I was friends with my age, their parents left, they left. But you know, I don't know, you know, I look back on it, and I don't remember Dad sitting down with us saying, now, kids, I want you to know this and that. Nope. But I know this, I know Dad never made the ministry look painful. He never made going to church look like it was a terrible thing. He never talked about those people that left the church. We didn't sit down at mealtime and, hey, that sorry deacon. Never. Never did that. Just didn't do it. But he made a conducive atmosphere that, man, when I got to be a teenager, I wanted to be involved. I was talking to my wife today, and I don't even remember now what, bro. I know we was talking about the birds. We was talking about Tina and Kelly. I said, the first time I met them, I met them knocking on their door, and they got in a bus, started riding the bus to church. And I said to my wife, you know, I said, when I was a teenager, boy, I thought working the bus ministry was so much fun. It was just a thrill to be involved in the work of God. Dad never took us aside and said, boy, you are going to be a bus captain, or I'll beat you with it. Never happened. But man, he made that atmosphere where it was conducive. He said, how'd you do it? Well, we never got up on Sunday morning and never heard Dad say, bless God, we've got to go to church again. Oh, they were always happy to go. It was always a wonderful place to be. I want to tell you, I think we ought to do our best to leave a legacy of that, all right? You say, preacher, I've messed up. Well, have you ever thought about apologizing? Ever just thought about apologizing? Say, man, I wish I'd have done a better job. And you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I want my kids, and I'm glad my two kids are in church and they're faithful coming to church, except they skipped tonight. I don't know what's happened. But, you know, I'm glad they come to church. I'm glad they participate. I'm glad I'm glad my son, well, every now and then says, hey, Dad, let's find a song to sing. I'm glad. Not that I think, we're great singers. It'll be a blessing. No, but it sure is fun to sing with your kid, all right? It's just fun to do that. Doesn't matter how good, bad, or indifferent. Well, thank God. Thank God. Hey, why? You create an atmosphere of how exciting it is to serve God. And I've thought that for years. Man, it is just exciting to serve the Lord, to be involved in what's going on. And I'm glad my dad created that kind of atmosphere. I'm glad he left that legacy. My mom said many times to me, she said, I sure am glad you haven't changed. Sure am glad you haven't changed. I'm kind of like Peter was when the Lord said, are you also going to go away? He said, where are we going? To whom shall we go? I'm going to tell you, where are we going? We've got the truth. Here it is. It's the Word of God. We come to the house of God. We fellowship with the greatest people in the world. And man, we ought to give it everything we've got. Why? We have that opportunity to do it. I want us to do it. I determined to leave a good legacy. I can remember praying and praying about my kiddos. Maybe it's good my son's not here tonight. And don't want to embarrass him by anything, but I remember praying, Lord, it's not so much, I'm not praying you call them in the ministry, Lord, I'm just praying they'll grow up to be good Christians, to love the Lord, serve Him, just be faithful. I want to ask you tonight, are you working to finish right? Are you working to finish right? You said, preacher, I've messed up along the way. Okay, but have you got it right now? Have you got it right now? Well, I made some mistakes. Okay, well, let's dwell on them. Let's keep pulling them up and rehashing them. Now, why? Let's get over the mistake, right? We made the mistake. We messed up down the line. But right now, get it right and then determine I'm going to finish right from today on. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to finish right. Hey, just get after it, all right? Take the steps that you need to ensure you finish right. Hey, it's not going to happen accidentally. Not going to do it. It was no accident that Joshua finished the way he did. Hey, he was faithful all along the way. All along the way. I just want God to do something with me. As long as I've got breath, as long as I can, I want God to use me. I want to serve Him. You say, why? Totally selfish, because I have such a good time serving God. Just have a good time serving Him. How about you? How about you? Our Heavenly Father, I